Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 5 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 8, 33 through 36. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 8, starting in verse 33. On the fourth day in the house of our God, we weighed out the silver and gold and the sacred articles into the hands of Meremoth, son of Uriah the priest. Eleazar, son of Phinehas, was with him, and so were the Levites, Jozabad, son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, son of Binui. Now, I want to point out that this Eleazar, son of Phinehas, this is not the same Eleazar and Phinehas and all of that kind of stuff from, like, you know, the sons of Levi way, way, way back. These are priests and Levites who have taken those very same names, but very, very different people, in case that's confusing. Verse 34. Everything was accounted for by number and weight, and the entire weight was recorded at that time. Okay, so Ezra's checks and balances, him counting everything out and weighing everything out, it worked. They make it with every single thing that they started with. All of this stuff is accounted for, and again, this goes to if you have a lot of money or really any money that you're dealing with in a ministry or a business or anything else like that, checks and balances, accountability is absolutely necessary because every single person, and Ezra knew this, every single person is liable to give into that temptation just to have a little bit more, right? Just to have a little bit more. Verse 35. Then the exiles who'd returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's orders to the royal satraps and to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates, who then gave assistance to the people and to the house of God. Now, given what we know, what we've read in Ezra about the difficulty that was going on at this time to rebuild and how basically the temple had stopped being rebuilt, or at least Jerusalem had stopped being rebuilt during this time. And the challenges and the difficulty that we've already read about in Ezra and what we will read about soon in Nehemiah, we understand that when Ezra hands this stuff over, they gave assistance. Yes, the governors and the satraps, they gave assistance, but it's almost like they're gritting their teeth as they're giving assistance. None of these people, as it seemed, like the Israelites. None of them wanted to be doing this. And here Ezra shows up with all of this gold and silver and animals. And it's not clear, did they buy all of the animals once they got to Jerusalem, or did they bring them with them? It really gives a sense of, like, what was this entourage like if they actually traveled with all of these animals? And it's very likely that they did travel with all of these animals and then some, because they would have needed food along the way. And again, without refrigeration, the easiest way to bring your food with you is to make your food walk. That's pretty much how things have worked for most of human history, is when you go to war, your food walks with you. And that's probably just what they did. And they brought all of this with them, or presumably they brought a lot of this with them. But they definitely had an entourage of animals that came along. But I imagine that these governors and these people, when Ezra delivers this message, oh, by the way, here's a letter from King Artaxerxes telling you, you have to help us and you have to give us money, probably didn't go over well. They helped. Can almost be sure that they didn't want to. If you've got budgets, if you're a governmental official and you've got budgets and you're already using every single dollar that you have, And then along comes this guy and says, hey, by the way, the king says that now 10% or 20% or whatever their budget was, whatever the number that Ezra was given authority to use, by the way, now that money, it's mine. The king said so. You have to give it to me. This never goes over well. Never. And so I'm sure that the fear of the king and fear of retribution from the king was very real and very present, so they helped. But goodness gracious, who on earth is going to want to help Ezra and the Jews in that situation? And again, and we have to understand all of this in the context of what Ezra has already laid out in this book, is there is a nonstop fight going on in the Holy Land, nonstop fight in Jerusalem by the governors and the satraps and the bureaucrats against the people of Israel. They don't want to be giving them money. They don't want to be giving them help. They don't even want them there. They're like, they've been gone for, you know, the 70 years before the original people showed up. And now they've kind of been having their way, pushing the people who were there for the past 70 years around, right? So for about 140 years now, all of these non-Jewish, non-Israeli people have ruled over the Holy Land, and they do not take kindly to these kinds of letters where the king is actually favoring these people that they don't like. So they're going to continue to find ways to undermine and undercut them without losing their own heads in the process. And how often have we seen that throughout history? How often do we see that today? For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.